Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
This is Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit. Heart to Heart.
It is Heart to Heart. I'm Sibongile Mofokeng. I'm with you up until 3 o'clock. Gave you the sounds there. For Katleho COB, we were foreigners, and that's how we came out from the 1 o'clock news bulletin. And yeah, my family, we are truly grateful for your support during our Visiothon last week. You make it possible for us to continue sharing the gospel throughout South Africa and worldwide. We do it with you. We know we cannot do it without. And we are able to do this in your language. For those who missed out on Visiothon and still want to be part of it, want to give, please send us an SMS with the word give to 37871, followed by your name and the amount you wish to give to 37871. You can send a WhatsApp as well to 082-657-2729. And together we bring the gospel home in your own language. I'm so excited today. I guess Nialien. Last week, was it on a Monday? Was it on a Tuesday? What day was it? Was it on a Monday? It was on a Wednesday. In the morning. Zaina was here together with Danny, and we were talking and welcoming, opening Children Protection Week, right? And today Dana is joining us. How are you guys?
Well, I am very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing like this. I'm doing like that. And welcoming you back. And so we're still on the Child Protection Week. When and like the, for the whole month, it's going to be dedicated to taking care of our children and making sure they are safe and all of that. But now, how long is the week for?
So the technical date is from the 29th of May until the 5th of June.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was just caught by this earlier on as I was reading the news. I think at 12. That the Minister of Justice said that, it says, let me read it. It says, the Minister of Justice and Constitutional Development, Mamoluko Kubayi, accepted memorandums from child protection organizations during a children's march to the Constitutional Court on Sunday. Were you there, guys, yesterday? And she says, it says, this as the country is observing Child Protection Awareness Month under the theme Working Together to End Violence Against Children, which then caught my eyes. And now also talking about gender-based violence and femicide, continues to say, in her address, Kubayi outlined a 90-day monitoring program being implemented to track gender-based violence and femicide-related cases from the moment they are reported to final court. Okay, when I read that, I'm like, does it mean that we also experiencing that where children are concerned? Okay, violence, yes. Femicide and gender-based. Are we experiencing that where children are concerned as well?
Yes, we are. Just to answer your question, no, we weren't there on Sunday. I'm going to be a little nasty, but it's fine. My mom will forgive me. We are more into taking action than just talking and have media photos and stuff. I see a lot of people joining this industry, and then they get very excited about the media hype.
Yeah.
And then they've got these pretty smiles, and it looks beautiful, but they're not doing the work. Yeah. So I'd much rather be on the ground doing the work, and then all the other people that like to smile at cameras can do the
marches. And it ends on that day, right? We march and that's that.
Well, I have not seen, I said it this morning in one of our podcasts, we made a photo around, so in South Africa at the moment we have 11 child suicides per day.
Hmm?
Okay? So that's obviously per day. So one is too many, and we've got 11 per day. Hmm. When you hashtag children, you get 25 million views, in the sense of 25 million people have used hashtag children in the last 24 odd hours.
Mm-hmm.
If you hashtag Child Protection Week, you get to 12,000.
Mm.
That's what our country feels about child protection.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that's on the lips. I'm glad they did something. It means they know it's the week, because they named the week. But that in itself is not good enough, because at the end of the year, we're going to sit here again. We're going to have a conversation with you about 16 days of activism, which is about GBV and so forth.
And then people march and it ends on that day and that week, and that's it.
And we had the worst time between Christmas and New Year last year in terms of GBV and so forth compared to previous years. So the march was great and it was all of that, but it's not good enough. It's not enough if there's no action. And why 90-day monitoring? The rules are already there. The laws are there. It should be immediate. If there's a problem, lock them
up. It should be daily.
That's it.
It shouldn't be a period, you know, certain period, but daily. Okay, in the light of that, today we're talking about new trends in child protection. I think somebody's be like, but what is that? If you can just explain that before we go into the nitty-gritties.
Well, I think one of the new trends, well, first thing, can I quickly, you know, my partner in crime, Dana, today is her 3-year anniversary with us.
Oh, she deserves another one like this.
And she's a little sick at the moment. So I was telling her this morning, you could have let me know, you know, you could have, you know, kind of stayed at home today. And I think she was hoping for,
well,
for a gift.
Well, it's her day and she wanted to. Day. And I hope a gift is coming. I mean, she came out sick.
I bought her a bottle of honey. That's a gift.
Oh, no. No. She's looking
she's
for
bringing it out of the bottle.
Yes, there's a few new trends, and we've discussed one or two of them before. But I think what parents need to do is know about these trends, because if they don't know about the trends, they won't know how to see the signs. And I think that obviously is the most important thing. Once it's too late. It's too late. And I mean, that's why I think it was important to share that what we're trying this Child Protection Week is every day to share what's happening, you know, with the stats, etc. So one of the new trends is obviously the WhatsApp communities and the WhatsApp groups where kids get discussed and so forth. And that trend is not a brand new trend. It's been happening for a while, but the trend is gathering pace and it's getting more severe. And the things that are being said are being, you know, more severe. And the impact of that on the kids, especially now in a month where kids are writing exams, because kids aren't, well, I was okay when I wrote exams because I had a lot of sport to look forward to. But a lot of kids are now struggling and they're not getting it right. My daughter was telling me last night that one of her friends sent her a WhatsApp to say, I don't know how to study for tomorrow. And that was like 8 o'clock at night. That's concerning. Because that child obviously, you know, I was going to struggle to get to, well, just to get to this morning, not even get through the exam papers. So that trend is a new trend. Another trend is where the self-harming is no longer, well, it's not as visible anymore. What does that mean? So a lot of kids self-harm on their arms and their legs. So, but that's visible. So you could pick that up by the way that they dress. For example, it'd be 30 degrees and they'd be wearing a jacket or a jersey. A lot of kids are now these days self-harming in different places. So what happens is the kids get each other excited about self-harming on social media apps like TikTok and so forth. So now the child's self-harming, but it's not visible. So it will be on the part of the body that you would not normally see. I mean, I've known Dana now exactly for, well, 3 years she's been permanent. I've never seen her body on the side, for example. I've seen her arms, I've seen her legs because of, you know, being working. Sometimes we work in hot weather, etc. But now the self-harming in places where you don't see. Now it's a trend that picks up where I'm now saying, you know, like Zanae next to me, Zanae, but you're not self-harming. Or Zanae, why aren't you self-harming? So instead of a child trying to deal with what they're going through, they're kind of challenging each other to do exactly the same thing. Or try and make it like the cool thing. Another trend that we currently have under the high school girls is they're trying to see who could fall pregnant the most.
Hi, Bo.
And have the most abortion. So we worked at a school two weeks ago. The girl was 12 years old and had her baby last year on the 4th of December. So these kids are very young and they are getting involved with things they shouldn't. Now, let's quickly go back to when I was at school, which is a while before these two ladies went to school. And we did not really know too much about the other grades.
At the age of 12?
Kids, no. But your cell phone has made this kind of small world.
Yeah.
Or this big world, a very small world.
Mm.
And that has happened because you hold the entire world in your hand. You are able to interact with anybody from any part of the world.
With such trends, how can you, what are the signs to tell that there's something wrong, your child is in trouble? And what can a child do? Okay, I'm going to pose that to you and Dana, the first question. The second question to you, Zaina, what next should, you know, a child be taught once you realize my child is in trouble?
So I think, especially when you look at teenagers, you know, they have this typical behavior where friends are everything and they kind of isolate themselves from their parents. So that is a normal sign. But when your child is in their room the whole time, doesn't want to come out, always behind a locked door, you see changing their behavior, changing their body weight, maybe they are picking up weight, maybe they are losing some weight, that is when you as a parent need to step in. And there's a lot of different parenting styles, and not every parent feels comfortable having a conversation with your child about sexual intercourse, about bullying, about self-harm, about substance use and substance abuse, and the impact what TikTok, the most known app that everyone is using. I don't always believe that parents, all parents, feel comfortable in having this conversation. So children learn from one another. So they will ask the other one, you know, this is happening in my life. And that is where you as a parent need to step in. I always say, and you can do this with children from a very young age, that we use it the hand technique. So you teach a child to identify five grown-ups, not five people, but five grown-ups who they can trust, whether they are in trouble because they did bad in an exam, whether they are in trouble because something bad happened at school, or emotionally they are not feeling well. So the first one would always be someone in your house, whether you're staying with your mom or your dad, maybe you're staying with your grandmother, that will be the first person in your house that you need to go to ask for assistance. If that person does not respond or does not assist or does not help, then you need to motivate the child to move on to the second person. The second person will be someone within your family. The third person will be someone in the school environment or like a church. And the fourth person will be a teacher within your classroom that you trust. And the last person can be like a family friend, let's say for example your best friend's mother. But the aim is to always teach your child that if the first person doesn't help you and you've reached out, don't stop there. Go to the second one, and if the second person is not helping you, don't stop there either. Go to the third person. Because what children do, and I was working in a school as a social worker who did therapeutic techniques with children, and I worked there for quite some time. And one thing that I've noticed is that children always say to me that, but I did tell, but they didn't help me and they didn't listen. And then there's years that goes by and they are living with the trauma. And that is what we talked about last week, Wednesday, as well, that, you know, this childhood trauma, this inner child that stays with you and you grow up. And in a sense, you kind of learn that you can't trust people anymore because no one is a voice for you anymore. So that is one technique that I really do feel is vital, because sometimes, especially teenagers, won't always talk to their mom or dad about something because maybe they feel shy, but they really have a good relationship with their auntie, so then they feel comfortable talking about whatever they are dealing with that person. So I think that is a helpful technique for every parent to help children identify in a fun way five people who you can trust and who you can reach out to. And don't stop.
So when you identify that they are being bullied or something is not going right with them, what should be your next step as a parent receiving this? Now she has identified, or he has identified you and told you everything. And what should be the next step?
You need to report. go to the, let's say for example, a child is reaching out to the mother or the father, the person who's staying in the house, depending on what the situation it is. If it is like a bully, then immediately talk to the child, explore as much information as you can, but you have to report it to the school. The school has different processes and systems in place, protocols that they need to follow, and that will be left in the hands of the school. You as a parent, they need to do follow-up and also need to monitor the situation. A lot of instances, I've heard parents say, yes, but I did address this with the school. I did tell them about it, but nothing came from it. Us as parents would expect that all the schools and all the police station and all the social welfare organizations are on top of everything. But let's be realistic. There is thousands and thousands and thousands of crises, children in need. We all know that there is a lack of social workers in the field who can do all these investigations. So they don't always get to everyone. Unfortunately, that is a real truth. So you as a parent, it still remains your responsibility to continue following up. Even if it is 2 weeks, every second week, every week, you need to follow up. Kind of be a pain in the process, but rather continue follow up and keep your finger on it.
We were taught during our time, then you know. And I don't know about when the two went to school, but our parents would be like, you can't tell me that you're bullied. You have to go bully them back.
That is true.
And I think there are still parents who do that. No. You beat up that child yourself. Yeah.
And there is a part of that unfortunately is true, in the sense of it's important, and I teach my kids not to beat the bully, but to stand up for themselves. Because sometimes you get into a situation where it's kind of being expected of you to be quiet, and you can't say anything and you shouldn't say anything and so forth. So it's very important that you teach your kids to stand up for themselves, but standing up for yourself includes going to a safe grown-up and saying, listen, I need assistance or I need help. That is important. So yes, we were definitely taught, hit them, if they hit you, hit them back harder. aim for the nose, it makes the eyes, shed some tears. But although that's not something we want to teach them, but it is important to teach kids to stand up for themselves. And it's okay to stand up for yourself. That self-love is important.
I want to, Donna, I don't know if you, maybe you have more knowledge on this, but I think the bullies that time of year and what happened then is quite different from what is happening now. In the past time, it was like, you know, they name shamed you and they physically assaulted you. But now there's an additional thing that came in. So social media also plays a big part. So you would not, you can't punch or stand up regarding, well, doing it on Facebook or on Twitter or on WhatsApp. You can't stand up by saying, the only thing you can do there is to say, stop being nasty to me, or, you know, I'm blocking you, whatever. But it all adds up. And I totally agree, like, children do need to stand up for themselves. But you also need to take into consideration the child's temperament. I take, for example, my child is 6 years old. And he is a very, very, he's a big softy. Like, he follows rules. If the school tells him, you do not fight in my school, he will not even stand up for himself because he knows he's going to break the rule. So he would rather a child, like, grab him around the throat, cry in the bathroom, come to me and tell me, Mom, this is what happened, then stand up and punch him back, because otherwise he's going to get into trouble. So you need to identify your child's personality and work with that and teach them accordingly while working with the school.
One thing I ask myself is that if the child punches back and the other one doesn't wake up, what now?
So I agree with what Zanae said, but we need to, and I've said this on your show before, what happens stays exactly the same. It's the toys that change. So standing up for yourself, or what happens is when you fight back, it somebody said something nasty about, listen, you know, Donnie, you are cheap or you are ugly or you are fat or whatever. And my response to that is that fight back. Because it's not a physical punch, but it's a fight back of, no, man, you are this, you are that. And that obviously is not where we want to be.
Yeah.
Because that escalation never ends until somebody really gets hurt. One of the things I like showing at schools is I speak about the gentleman entering, well, in this case, just for the example, enters a bar and he hits the first guy he sees with a fist. That guy then stands up, takes his chair, hits him back. Then this guy again takes out a knife and stabs him. And then the guy that was hit first stands up, takes out a gun and shoots the person and kills him. So that escalation is never going to stop. So we need them to step away. And I also agree with Zanae, and you have to look at your children's personality and teach your child something that will suit their personality, because you cannot just teach anybody to stand up and fight, but you can teach. I was telling a boy in Mpumalanga last week who said to me, you know, sir, they're always targeting me, and I said to him, the best for you, because he doesn't want to fight, I said, the best for you is to always win a fight with 30 meters. And he said, how does that work? I said, you turn around, you get away from there, and we'll go on until you're 30 meters away. Mm. So get away. Then you know what you can and you can't do. You know what your strong point is and what your weak points are. So act accordingly. Go and make sure that you know. And parents need to step up.
Mm.
Find out what is the school's protocol. What is the communication channel? Who's the first person they need to make contact with? If that is the class teacher, then if something happens, tell your class teacher.
Yeah.
If it is a head of grade, then follow that process, because that's the easiest way.
Follow that through.
Yes.
Okay.
And then you as a parent, as Anais said earlier, are you going to be happy by just reporting it and then sitting back? No. Then don't be. Be on them. Don't send them an email every half an hour, but I mean once a day. Listen, I need feedback. Listen, I want feedback. And if that then does not
maybe
work,
one of the things that I think most parents would ask themselves is, what kind of a feedback do I need? What should the school say to me? What can I expect? Because I think we talk about reporting, but what kind of, do we need the parents from the other child to respond to us? What is it? What's the feedback?
So the feedback is feedback you're happy with, because it's your child. And you have, by law, the responsibility
to
protect that child.
Yeah, so to be the voice.
And you've got the rights as well. So if you're not happy with the feedback, and I think that's one of the great things, is if you're unhappy with the feedback, then you reach out to an organization like ours to say, I followed all these steps and I'm not getting the help that I need. And it's amazing sometimes where, especially in a school where a principal kind of feels above the law.
Mm.
He does what he wants. He says what he wants. And he acts like he wants.
Mm.
That principal tends to not want to listen to anyone, especially if he's already decided what is happening between two kids and whatnot.
Mm.
Then you report them and you say, these are the steps. Remember, we cannot intervene if you didn't follow all the steps. But what I can do for you is I can have a look at what you've done and then send you back to the steps you've missed.
Okay.
Because that's the first thing the Department of Education is going to ask for. Mm-hmm. Were all the steps followed?
Mm.
Then when we get to escalating it to somebody with more authority, then at least we know these steps were all followed and that this is what's happening next. You also do, unfortunately, get parents that are not going to be happy with any outcome but the outcome that they expect.
Mm.
You're not always going to get the outcome you expect. There are times that you sometimes have to hear that your kids lied to you about a situation. And you need to be open to that. One of my favorite lines when I'd speak to parents is, your kids change personality when they enter school grounds. The child that you have at home is not necessarily the child you have at school.
Your child may be the worst one. I'm causing every other child harm.
Because at home, your child has adjusted to a personality that suits the household. Now he's at home for, I'm going to use my kids as an example because it's easy. My daughter's a lot more feisty than my boy. My boy is a very quiet boy. He wants to play rugby and that's what he wants to do with life. He's not getting involved in unnecessary drama, not at school, not at home, anywhere. My daughter's quite feisty because he's quiet. She's taken that role and she's feisty and she's all of that. But when she gets to school, there are girls that are more feisty than her.
Hmm.
So she then sometimes takes on a quieter role because that's where she fits in into that. Then it gets to the netball field, and then she's captain of the netball team. Then the feisty comes out again. So she changes her, and most kids do that. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing, because you need to learn where you fit in. And I'm going to use Dana as an example. So Dana started with us, like I said, 3 years ago, and I gave her a lot of authority at work. So last week, 2 weeks ago, one of the girls that was working for us wanted to kind of jip her. And then Dana's quick, like, Donnie, you sort her out. And I then said, no. This is now your opportunity to put down your foot. Not saying I'm right or wrong. It's not about that. It's about we need to grow. And we need, how do we grow? We grow when things aren't perfect. That's normally when God uses us the most, isn't it? When things aren't perfect, when things aren't looking like they should, and we kind of feel like this is too heavy, that's normally where God uses us the most. Think about Daniel with the lions. Think about David with Goliath. All of them. It's when things aren't perfect, but that's when you grow, because that's when you learn the most about yourself. And that's what we as parents need to do, is to learn about our kids, but also allow them to find their strengths and weaknesses, so that they can come to us and say, listen, Dad, this I think I'm okay with, but with this I'm struggling. And then we can't live for them, but we can then give them advice and guide them.
Let's take a break and then come back to talk some more. There's so much to learn, and I think sometimes it becomes hard for parents who are bullied themselves, when now they have to face the bullies in their children's lives. And I see Zaina wants to say something. Quick one before we go to an break.
I think that comes back, like, that in itself is a trigger to the parent, like taking them back to everything else. So they kind of like feel like, what do I do from here? Either they've succeeded and then like, you go for him. Yeah. Or it's like, no, just stay away. Don't bother it. Yeah. Don't bother him.
Ish. All right, let's take a break.
The words of the Lord are words of life. Your heart is on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Ulwazi oluthe vetshe, impilo engcono, nothando oluthe gabalala. Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, umhlobo wakho wemihla ngemihla.
Share our passion for life on 657 AM. 657 AM.
Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir this afternoon. Holy is the Lord. We're sitting on exactly 15 minutes, just before 2. And you're listening to Heart to Heart with me, Sipongile Mofokeng, with you up until 3 o'clock. Ek is Nia Lien. Maar ek is met Dana from Solidarite to Help and Hand, and with Danny and Dana all the way also from the Child Protection Hotline. And on Sprat Uer, did I try new trends in child protection? I'm good.
I'm so proud of you.
But now, guys, as we're talking about the new trends that are there in child protection, Danny, you mentioned something about children self-harming. So as a parent, you realize there's Zaina gave out the signs and symptoms that your child might be in trouble of some sort. And then you realize that, and then you find out they're self-harming. You're not even quite sure why, what led to that. And what should be the next step that you take as a parent when you see that?
Well, okay, so first things, obviously self-harming isn't a new trend per se. It's just the way that it's taking place.
Is it growing?
No, for sure. I'm going to use this example. Last week somebody asked me, when was the first time I realized or noticed self-harming? And I said, I was on a date. I was 18 years old, university already. And the girl was sitting opposite me, and I saw a cut on her wrist. So I, in my stupidity, asked her if she has tried before to commit suicide. Because, I mean, I didn't know that self-harming existed.
Mm.
And then she said, no, she used to cut herself. And I was I remember sitting there thinking to myself, that's weird. In the sense of, I've never even thought of that. That's not something that was ever crossed my mind.
Mm.
And today, you speak about, the kids hurting themselves. And all the kids know that you're speaking about self-harming. Even at primary school level, which is very concerning. So, the signs are obviously the physical signs.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously the signs of, as Zanae said, the child withdrawing themselves.
Mm.
And the opposite's also true. They might become very loud. They might now be so loud because that's a one way that people don't ask you if you're okay. So if you're at the front of being the clown in the class or the one that's always making noise or the one that's really the one pushing through whatever rebellious things needs to happen, people tend to not ask if you're okay because we tend to look at somebody and when they are quiet, we tend to ask them, are you okay?
Mm.
It takes really a learned eye to pick up when somebody is not okay, when they don't actually show the symptoms of not being okay. Mm. And I mean, I'm sure you've seen it yourself where you've got guests that come in and they're smiling and they're laughing and they're speaking. And then you're like, when it's done, it's like, listen, you're not okay. I can actually see that. Mm. Sometimes it's because they try too hard, but sometimes it's just because we learn this compassion and this empathy for our fellow human beings. So there's the physical one, there's the other signs, and then the emotional signs. Somebody might be very teary-eyed, they might cry about anything, or
you don't want to listen. I've been saying it.
And then also, obviously, they might be reaching out to people that they don't normally reach out to. So it might be your child's asking to speak to their grandparents or an uncle or an aunt or somebody they've got a different connection to. Because as Danae said earlier, and that's important, sometimes kids don't want to burden their moms and dads with things that bother them. Because remember, kids hear half of what's going on. So when kids see an empty fridge, they make their own assumption of what's going on. An empty fridge might be that it's financially not going well at home, but it might also be parents were too busy to go out and buy groceries. But kids will make their own assumption.
Conclusions.
And because they make their own conclusion, they will not be asking certain things from their parents because they don't know. So there's quite a few signs that would be available. And I really just hope parents will have a look.
It breaks my heart because I remember 14, he was 14, now he's 18. Whenever there wouldn't be food in the house because his father had a drinking problem. So he drank it all. And I'm hungry. Mm. And you'd find that that day it's not that. And so that tainted the relationship between him and his father as well.
Yeah.
How do you protect the children who are self-harming? What should you do as a parent?
Well, I think it's obviously a red sign. So even if your child is doing it because it's part of a trend, or even if it is severely, even if it's just a scratch, I don't think any person, a parent or a professional, should ever judge to say that, oh no, it's just a scratch, you know, she's just doing it for attention.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the first sign of a person or a child reaching out, that something is not okay, I'm not coping. Even if it is learned behavior, I was learned that this is something
Wait, Zena. So with all the other trends, you should be concerned. Remember children used to choke each other? Or the other one where they would kick the other one from the back. I don't know what they call that one. And they would fall on their medulla oblongata.
the skull breaker challenge.
Yeah. So should you be concerned when they're getting involved in such horrific, scary trends?
100%. 100%. Okay. Some children think it's a joke, but it can cause your life. It can cause permanent severe brain damage. Or with self-harming, just one day that child has enough courage to cut a little bit deeper and it's going to be too late. So rather get your child, speak to your child about it, be open and honest, tell them, like, I can see you're not okay. I can see something is bothering you, and open up the door for trust to come in regarding, if you don't want to speak to me about it, it's okay. Who do you feel comfortable speaking to? But we need to address this. Do you feel comfortable speaking to your aunt? Should you rather go to the school counselor? Do you want to speak to someone at church? Do you want me to make you an appointment with a psychologist? Should we call Donnie and let them help us? But open up the door to give your child a little bit of power to say that I feel comfortable doing this.
Okay.
But a child needs to talk to someone about this because it might be rooted very deeply and it might be triggered by someone just saying something silly. It can be the start of something and you can be preventative about it, or it can be something deep and you can go into vermaai.
Now you're asking the other Afrikaans guy.
Avoid. Avoiding possible further danger. So I think talking to someone who's a professional, or talking to someone who you trust, who can make adult judgment to say, listen, yeah, this is quite severe. Let's rather refer to someone who's more specialized in this field and get guidance. You as a parent also need to get guidance. Like a lot of people say, the school counselor needs to fix this because it's their problem or whatever.
No.
They can't fix the child. Sometimes it's something you do as a parent. Sometimes it's just the way you approach your child. What is wrong with you today? I can see you are not yourself. Do you want to share with me? Might be a better approach. So for you as a parent to also get guidance on how to treat your child, what to avoid, what certain words might be triggering to your child can also be beneficial. So you as a parent can also get guidance, but to get your child to a professional or to someone they trust, to just talk about it and open up about it is definitely the first step.
Sure. Yeah, there's so much, eh?
Can I just add to that?
Yes.
And excuse my lovely voice. From a counseling perspective, what we always try and aim to do when a child is self-harming is we take them through the process of slow elimination. So what I mean by that is, let's say a child is using a knife, or most oftentimes they use the blade from their sharpener.
Yeah.
So what we...
What? Wait. I thought maybe from...
Oh, no. They take their sharpener blade and then they...
Screw it out.
It's easily accessible due to the fact that they're going to need a sharpener to sharpen their pencils at school. So it wouldn't really signal any alarm bells to their parents. So we do a process of elimination, but slowly. Can you put it in a place where it's hard to find? Can you, maybe go for a different approach? Like, instead of having to sharpen your pencils, you go for pencils that are, like, let's say, for instance, a clutch pencil. You don't need to sharpen. And it's also to reshift their focus from feeling down and in a slump to highlighting the positive and the future. So what we do is, I always counsel a child that's self-harming, I always ask them the question of, what do you want to become one day? And many times the child says a psychologist or a doctor or a surgeon.
Because they have a problem, they need somebody to address. So
yes,
they also bring the help in that space. Okay.
They want to help people one day as well. And long story short, I always tell the child to show me their arms or to show me where they're cutting. And most times it's fresh cuts, but there's also lots of scarring. And I say to them, okay, let's put you in another person's shoes. You go to your doctor now, and your doctor needs to treat you for, like, now for me being sick, for instance. The doctor needs to treat your sickness, and you see that your doctor's wrists have marks and scars. Or you go and see a psychologist and sit down with a psychologist.
Would you trust them?
And have scars shown on their body. Would that change your mindset?
Okay.
Would that change the validity of the services that they're offering? And the child kind of then keeps still and, like, starts the, you can see the light bulb moment, like, oh my God, like, what's going on? So it's to take that child into the future context of, what do you want to be one day? What are your actions now going to do?
How they're going to affect.
How is that going to impact you further down the line?
Sure. That is something else that nobody thinks about. And I'm just thinking most of the parents now, especially when I check on TikTok and especially TikTok. Yeah. You find everybody's talking about hard parenting. Yeah, no, these 2000s, the children born in these years from 2000, the year 2000, they are hard to deal with. So hard parenting. So I can just imagine a parent who says, I don't want to see a sharpener anywhere in the house. Anywhere in the house. So you say it's also important how we address them. Mm. Because we might be the triggers.
Mm. Yes. And I think what's important when you parent, go and think back to when you were a child and what you did not enjoy about your parents. Because that doesn't change. And I always say this. What happens doesn't change. It's the tools or the toys that are available that change.
Mm.
So if you did not enjoy your parents shouting at you, why would you think your child would enjoy it?
Yeah.
If your parents, if you did something wrong, ignored you for 2 days, why would you think your child would now enjoy that? And yes, your parenting was influenced by that, but you now also know that that's not working. You know why you rebelled. Why would you give your child the same reasons to rebel? It's that to me is sometimes something when I speak with parents that doesn't make sense to me. It's you didn't like certain things. You didn't like
so
when mom and dad.
Why do you think your child will?
Yeah, if mom and dad's shouting at each other and you didn't enjoy it.
Yeah.
Why would you think your child would enjoy being in the middle of your relationship battles or shouting matches?
So if we need help for our children, we are listening right now, or our young people need help from the Child Protection Hotline or from Solidarity to Help and Hand, how do we go about that?
So our counseling line that we have with yourself and I Am Youth, the number is 076-037-6345. You start that conversation with hi on WhatsApp, and then you will receive the prompt on how to get the assistance that you need.
076-037-6345. Okay. Solidarity to Help and Hand.
They can send me an email at Zanay. zane@helpandahand.co.za, but I will also leave this for you so you can put it.
Help in a hand.
Yeah, help in the, like a helping hand.
Okay.
Or they can contact me. I can also give my telephone number.
Okay. Let's be safe. WhatsApp you, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
WhatsApp.
083-449-7218.
083-449-7218. Your closing statements, Danny, then Zane and Dana.
I think there's a lot of things that are happening. Things are happening quickly thanks to social media and so forth. So be on top of it. Read up about these things. Listen to what's happening. Listen to your kids.
Mm.
But also go and research for yourself. What's happening? Why is it happening? And then go and find out at the school that your child attends, what is the protocol? So if something goes wrong, that you follow that protocol.
Mm. Zina?
It takes a village to raise a child. Help your child to identify that five people who's part of your village.
Mm. Dana?
I would say that knowledge is power. Mm. So like Donnie mentioned, be knowledgeable about what's going on rather than naive and think that nothing is happening. So you can rather equip yourself to handle whatever comes your way than when it comes your way, not be equipped at all.
Hmm. Thank you so much, guys, for coming through. I know on Friday we're talking human trafficking and all that. And I think everybody thinks, no, this is far from, you know, it won't happen to my child. And we've heard about malls where, like, there are very famous malls in Pretoria and in Gauteng where the kind of child trafficking happens a lot. It's not only children who are trafficked, for that matter. Even adults are being trafficked. So how do we protect our children from all of that? So I can't wait to be talking to you again on Friday, same time. Love you guys. Do remember, my family, the counseling WhatsApp line 076-037-6345. Alternatively, you can just send Zaina a WhatsApp to on 083-449-7218.
Umthandazo welungisa unamandla ngokugqibeleleyo. Iradio Pulpit yakha uMzantsi Afrika nezizwe zonke ngomthandazo.
Download our app now and listen to us wherever you go. Available in the App Store and Play Store. Do you read the Word for Today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy. Visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice, and update your details. Or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rates apply.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.